Hey there, welcome back to the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Thank you for tuning back in today. Whether you are listening over at PathToZion.com or watching the video on our YouTube channel, following us on Facebook, where you can get daily updates towards different commentaries and opinion and thoughts towards certain scriptures that I pick out most mornings. And so thank you for joining us today. This episode specifically came out of this morning's commentary thoughts. And you see it in the title there, The Trap of We Know Better Now. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of what I have added to my commentary this morning. We're just going to talk about it. I do not mean in any way. My intention is not to sound like sarcastic or harsh. I want to try to be careful I don't come across that way. But I want to include all of us, either past, present, or future. We have all done this. Many are doing it right now, and we will all have the opportunity to make sure we do not do it again in days to come. Of this trap of, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but we know better now. Many people would call out movements or doctrinal positions on morality, how to live, what to do, what not to do, that are just very simple and easy. Because you can call that from a million miles away of saying, well, that is not at all what the Bible speaks to being acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. And that's easy, but there are many, many lengthy lists of things. We will cover a few where this same issue of we know better now, or we understand the scriptures better now than those even who wrote it. They didn't really understand what they were even writing. And this is really hurting, damaging humanity as a whole, and of course, more specifically, the body of Messiah, as we try to understand the scriptures and figure out how do we live according to their instruction in the patterns of those who went before us, who did that in many cases years and years ago. And so with that in mind, we're going to talk about how I believe there's something that I'm beginning to see in increasing measure, in increasing regularity, that concerns me really greatly towards this. Many Christians that I see in multiple platforms, in sermon excerpts, little things here and there, some do boil down into real-life conversations with others, of course. And it's this rise of primarily Christianity. And Christianity is a broad stroke these days of what people believe that is, and saying, well, I know what the Bible says about such and such, but, you know, I know that Deuteronomy says this, but it says this in John, or it says this in John, but I know what the authors really meant, or boldly, many people, I know what Messiah really meant when he was saying this. It was just poetic, or if it was just metaphor. This crosses many, many topics right now in this age we live in. Whether it's gender issues, you know, even male and female, that goes all the way back to creation, is really under scrutiny, even by people who profess to be in Jesus. It's a different Jesus, but that's for a whole nother topic that we do tackle on occasion here on the program, but that's not for today. So gender issues, how one defines what is sin today, whether or not any one of us in Christ have to live within and under, any kind of the confines of law or boundaries, or even creation itself, and like the earth, all that we can see, all that we have been told is out there. All that we live within here in the world, the earth, the land, and the sea that we live amongst, and the heavens above. Well, that's questionable too. We'll get to that. Whether or not we really keep all 10 commandments, it's on the wall of the churches, most every corner of America. But we don't really have to do all of those. We know that we know Hebrews. We know the writings of Paul, so we think. And many people, in increasing number, in a surprising even compartment of people, of well-learned individuals, studied men, are simply setting the word aside and just saying, you know, I don't think that's what God really meant when he said this. We know better now. And this permeates so many different facets of culture, of belief systems, of denominations, of religions as a whole. It is a unifier of sorts of this arrogant, we just know better now somehow in this age than those who preceded us thousands of years ago. Now, I would propose very simply, in order to discover where this started, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 3. I believe it's really that simple. I believe that the fall is the pattern setter of what I am proposing today that concerns me greatly. It says this, now the Nahash, the serpent, I don't believe it was this, you know, animal snake. We have to put that over here as well. Do a study on the Nahash and the shining one. It's quite intriguing to study. But this serpent one was more crafty than any other beast of the field that Yahweh Elohim has made. He said to the woman, he's speaking to the woman, did Elohim actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Which here we are again. Why am I saying this? We are setting the table of what if this pattern was perfectly implemented into humanity and has been perpetuated for generation after generation that goes all the way back to the mother of the living, Eve. This is a garden lie that has been incredibly successful. And again, has infiltrated and permeated belief systems of people who have been convinced they live according to the Bible, but yet have inherited a doctrine of belief that says replacement theology, replacement theology, replacement church, replacement testament, replacement, replacement. Everything has been altered and replaced now. And the teachers that have purported this throughout so many endless generations quite successfully, I believe used by the enemy himself, that goes back to the Genesis 3 account, which continually, subtly, often using the word itself to submit a question that is as ancient as Genesis chapter 3, which is, I know what Elohim said. I know what he said. But did he actually say this? Did he really mean what he said? And it's that seed of thought where if the soil of the heart of a man and a woman is postured to question, that seed takes root and it becomes infectious. And boy, has it matured on the tree of humanity ever since Genesis chapter 3. I would propose that this pattern of we know better infiltrates every crack and crevice of society. It's not just religion. It's everywhere you look. Everybody knows better, especially in this world of multimedia and social media. Everybody has somehow entered into a platform of setting everyone else straight. If you are within the Torah understanding movement, I don't like calling it that, but we'll do that for the sake of understanding what I'm saying. If you are within that pool of people, it's probably the worst there than anywhere. Praise Yahweh, we celebrated Passover 2 days ago. It's not Passover. What's wrong with you? Don't you know your Bible? Passover's in 2 weeks. Passover's in 4 weeks. Passover was... We all become elevated and convinced, well, we have possessed truth and we know better now. I know better than you. I know better than you. And sadly, friends, we have inherited a doctrine of belief that says we know better than this. Or we can at least, at the very least, say we know how to interpret it now better than even those who penned it. And that concerns me greatly, which is what we're putting our thumb on today. Religion, I would say, however, leads the way with this infection of we know better. I think it's everywhere we look. It's interwoven into all denominational and sectarian beliefs. That's why denominations exist. Well, you think that, but we know better. We're the real church. No, we're the church. No, we're the church. No, we're the church. The list of groups that understand what the Bible really means when it says this is endless. Well, what about head coverings? Well, the Bible clearly says this. Well, I think it clearly says this. Well, what about Sabbath? I believe it clearly says this. No way. You don't know anything. It clearly says this. I am quick to say, in every environment I'm in, everywhere, I don't know. I think we're all wrong. I think we're all wrong. That's not the point. The point isn't to get this thing with this endeavor of life, of trying to live as holy, set apart, pleasing in the eyes of Yahweh, is thankfully it's not about perfection. It's not about that, but it is about the heart's posture of striving as a child to please his Father in a world of chaos, in a world of confusion, in a world that is constantly driving and pressing us to what? Exalt ourselves to say we know best. But friends, may I just insert a little reminder here into my notes that Yeshua himself, the perfect example of how to walk pleasing in the sight of the Creator, the Son, always deferred to his Father. Always. In every circumstance. Look, man, I'm only here to speak his opinion on a matter. I'm not giving mine. I don't have an opinion. Now, a lot of people don't say that because they want Yeshua to be co-equal with the Father, and so he can say whatever he wants. But friend, Yeshua the Son knew whatever authority he spoke out of, his authority was given to him by his Father. His unction was given to him by his Father. His directives were given to him by his Father. His Father's commands were his commands. He heard, he saw, he spoke, and he did. It is the function of the Son. His opinion meant nothing. He had none that was usurping the proper place and order of serving the Father. It was all in submission to his Father. It would do us well to do that also in light of other brothers and other people in our lives, of not looking like a bunch of jerks when we are sharing anything. Any molecule that the Father has revealed to me in his word is a gift from him. It is not our possession, friend. It's good for us to remember. I do understand in light of that, we will all arrive at differing conclusions towards scriptural matters on how to live, how to keep the calendar, how to keep Sabbath. What is keeping the Sabbath? Well, let's just get out our word and let's just study what it says. I really don't care what you think it is. I don't want you to care what I think it is. I want you to do what I would like to do with you and any other, which is show me in the Word, and let's talk about that. I really don't care about our traditions. I don't care about our opinions, nor do I expect you to care much for mine. But what does the Word say? What does the Word say about these things? We will study out a matter and come to differing conclusions, and that's fine. But the entirety of the Word must agree towards a matter. And that's of utmost importance here when we have been inserted in our epoch of time into a dispensational doctrine society of belief, a replacement theology mindset that says, well, if you don't understand a command or if you don't want to do it, place that into a dispensational time frame and remove yourself from when it was applicable. That's what we have inherited. If you don't understand clean and unclean, if you don't have the proper approach to Sabbath, go find a verse in the Bible that excuses you from living it out. Go find a differing view. Many will go to a different church. I don't like that guy up there talking about the Torah and commands. I'm free in Jesus, so you move on, you leave, or you get rid of him. Whatever the religious order is in your life, that is what we have all known here in the century we live in. You just make a change. Whether you change the word or you change your application of it personally to yourself, you shift, you replace, you move on from that because you don't think by being convinced by others, self-proclaimed teachers, or an errant study of the word ourselves individually, which we can all do, and we all do. We elevate it above just simply what many times the word says. Many things are not clear, and we have to study and just hold it very tenderly and rightly and walk through our understanding as Holy Spirit reveals what is true, with a capital T, not true, because, well, that fits what I believe already. No, let that not be our baseline for understanding and study. We don't have license to add and remove in order to establish doctrinal positions that just make better sense that way than maybe what the Bible seems to say about a matter. We cannot just overlook and alter what we read and say, well, here we are again to our mainline topic. We know better than that now. We just understand that better than they did way back then. And we're going to get to some verses here momentarily. I'm seeing this in all camps, biblically educated people, casual believers. Again, it's already in secular culture as well. There, you know, it's morality and what you live according to, how you live, what's acceptable is ever changing. We are on a degrading decline. It is within the church as well. We know better now. In this so-called enlightened, technologically advanced age, we just know everything better now. We know how everything works. We know the deepest molecular level of creation, and we know the 10 billion, trillion, quadrillion galaxies way out into the unknown. Yeah, we know that too. And we exalt ourselves, and we are saying, whether intentional or not, I'm proposing, we'll try to be more soft and gentle, that we think we just know better now. And again, we're going to keep going back to this. I will insert over and over. I believe we are buying into the Garden chapter 3 of Genesis lie. Did Elohim really say that? I see it all around us. The ones who preceded us, they just didn't know what we know today. Those were uneducated simpletons. All they knew was sheep. They just knew sheep and planting wheat and barley. What do they know? They didn't know what we know. And we've arrogantly exalted ourselves in a place that's become to our detriment, I would propose. I will be continually amazed at the success rate of this garden deception principle. Did Elohim really mean what he said? This has echoed throughout every single generation of humanity. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Many of you could quote it right now. Yahweh spoke to his people. Okay, this is the creator of all things speaking to his holy set apart people. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to do, so that you may live and go in and possess the land that Yahweh, the Elohim of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add to the word that I am commanding you or take away from it in order to keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, that I am commanding you. We are going to highlight this for the next few moments as one of our primary texts. Of course, it's quite fitting and simple. Yahweh is speaking to his set-apart people, not the Jews. This is not a Jewish issue. He is saying, don't add anything to my word. Don't take anything away from my word. Leave it alone. We believe here, in our household, when David penned the words that the Torah is perfect, reviving the soul, we believe that's true forever. We don't believe that the Torah somehow became defiled and burdensome. It never was burdensome. We're told that in the newer covenant and back in the old covenant as well, that this is not too hard for you. The writers of the newer testament, the new covenant, understood this is not beyond you. This is not too far. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. You know what, friend? Leave it alone. Let it stand as a clear reminder that the only one who can write the perfect word to live according to already did so, and it does not need our help. It doesn't need our altering in any way. So this here, I would suggest, is where a common error starts to become a very major issue. We talk about this endlessly here on the program. We have from the inception of when we started doing this podcast years ago. Identity is key. If we have been convinced that we are not Jews, but we are Christians because we're not Israel, the water gets real muddy real fast, because we could say, okay, and this happens in many other areas, of course, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I, Yahweh, am teaching you to do." Oh, whoa, 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 stop the boat. I'm not Israel. I'm not a Jew. Well, number one, those are not the same. Most importantly, number three, we'll say, if we move into a place where we are, "Oh, not me, not for me, not for me, not for me," in an improper manner, because yes, there are Torah commands. I'm not a priest. I'm not a woman. There are things, yes, that have to be put in their proper place as not applicable to me. I mean, we even have to say, well, did Yeshua keep all of the Torah? Well, if we're going to be really stringent about it, well, no, he wasn't a woman. He wasn't a high priest in the sense of a Levitical priesthood human being. So no, he didn't. Oh, are you saying he wasn't perfect? No, I'm saying there's a deeper level of understanding towards, we have to know what the commands are, which we don't. I don't. I'm ignorant and learning more and more. And number two, there is an application understanding that needs rightly applied, but that does not come underneath this large umbrella of when we read a text that says, "Oh, Israel, listen. Oh, whoa, 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 I'm not a Jew. Hey, sorry, man, I don't know what's after this, but I'm not a Jew." Now, we say all the time, the problem with that overreaching belief system is most believers in Christianity have no problem receiving the blessings of, "Oh, Israel, when you do this," and we skip the "when you," but we read and love and highlight the blessings of Israel. Now, those are for us because in Jesus I'm grafted in, amen. But what about these things here? This, I believe, is all-inclusive. We're not going to get into the deepest matter of this, of identity today. But listen, I'm just going to put it this way. We'll simplify. If you are going to be my people, Yahweh says, if you're going to be my set apart, holy, consecrated, kadosh, identifiable people, this is what those people do, and this is what you don't do. In this case specifically, if you are truly my set apart people, don't add to my word, don't take away from my word, period. Don't do it. You're not given that freedom and liberty, which we will move more into here momentarily. So this is where that error begins to be a major roadblock in our understanding of how to apply the word to us individually and to people, our households and groups of people in our life, because this affects how we hold scripture and how we apply it personally to our own life and what we do and what we don't do in day-to-day living. If the word does not affect how you live today, I would say in humility, you're not allowing the word to do its job. You're not allowing the word of Elohim to perform its function if it doesn't literally infiltrate every facet and detail of every decision you make in your life. That is the way Yahweh's people used to live. We have lost that. And why? Why? Here we are. This is so easy, friend. We know better now. We know better now. I believe we have to understand this. Now, I would say, and again, I'm like a former Christian. I've not deconstructed my faith and left the faith. No, I've found the faith, friend, and it's ancient and old, and it's a covenantal faith that I didn't know existed before. It's not a harsh thing where, like, I gave up Christianity and now. No, it's just I found through the incredible revelation of the Father, through His Word, via His Holy Spirit and the work of His Son, I found out who I am. And who I will be in the future and what Yahweh's plans are for the coming age. And so in that, if we think that none of these things that Israel was commanded to do like this, keep the word, keep it pure, leave it alone, don't add to it, don't take it away. If we don't believe that the things Yahweh commanded Israel are for us, then we don't have to do anything from there. We don't have to keep Sabbath. Oh, well, we don't keep Sabbath as a whole, Christianity. We don't have to do works. Works are evil. It's filthy rags. Don't you dare do works now. Don't do it. Filthy rags. We don't have to memorialize Yahweh's feast, not the feast of the Jews. Yahweh's feast. Nope. Not who we are. We're not Israel anymore. We also have been given liberty in Jesus to rewrite to our point, add or take away, rewrite, add or take away, from Father's wonderful, perfect word. After all, that command wasn't for us, right? We're not Jews. Even though it's not two Jews, we're trying to stay on track with the general understanding that most of us have inherited. We're going to wrap this up and make two parts. In conclusion for part one, and then we're going to get to a list that I compiled of several what I call highlight points that really exemplify this concern I have. That we know better now. And so we live like this because we have a different, better, elevated, and heightened understanding than those who penned the word and those who used to live it out thousands of years ago. So in conclusion for part one, I believe one must understand that if we take away, please listen to this last paragraph. If we take away from Father's word, okay, if we remove compartments and pieces. Now, I'm always saying, I believe Father's Torah is His character. Okay? I'm fully convinced of that as I read the covenantal works of my Father throughout the Word, beginning to end, all the way to the culmination of the ages. If we compartmentalize for us, not for us, don't understand that, definitely not for me, and we go to our traditions of men, library of thought, and if we continually remove, and we're going to get to a list of some concerns, literal lists, in the next episode, I would propose that we're just as guilty as the non-believing teachers of the law that added to the word, Talmudic tradition. Now, who hates the Pharisees more than anybody else on the earth? Christianity. Christianity, man, is always coming against the Pharisees, Miss Jesus. Why? Because they were clinging to the old law. As we always try to just expose here for those who come into the program and don't understand this yet, like I didn't for over 44 years of my life, they were guilty of adding to and taking away. Okay, their case, they primarily added to the word of Elohim, the commands of Elohim. Okay, they vehemently by life disagreed with Deuteronomy chapter 4. They did not keep from adding to the word that Yahweh commanded, nor keep from taking away from it. They were the personification of adding to it. Okay. I am proposing that the Christianity that I've known, that's all I can speak to, the broad understanding, the majority pool, is just as guilty for taking away from Father's word as those Talmudic teachers who denied Messiah. We have been, Christianity has been, just as guilty of taking away as they were of adding to. And if that hurts you today, I would ask that you would consider sitting there and really meditating towards that. and maybe asking why. Because that is a very, very deep matter that I think we need to give attention to. Let me repeat this a little bit differently in an attempt to be clear. The Pharisees that Christianity calls out all day long are no more guilty via their adding to the Torah than the Christians are for their taking away from it, in my opinion. We need to let that sink in, because why? Well, one reason is Yeshua strongly opposed this in his day. He called him out all day long. That's what he was coming up against. What? You have added to my Father's perfect Torah. It's unnecessary. You leaders who have usurped the authority that you were supposed to carry out in a certain way, you have placed burdens upon men that they should not bear, which is what they address in Acts. That's proper understanding of what freedom people were coming out from under in what? Another religious system. The Talmudic religious system is the Catholic state church that has given birth to evangelical Christianity. Evangelical Christianity is the offspring of the state church that really started rearing its head in the 3rd century. Same mindset. Replacement. That's not who we are. Hey, we are the exalted church now. We are. What are they saying? We know better. They say that word for word when you read the Catholic catechisms and Catholic encyclopedia. We have found a better way, is what they said, than the law, the Torah, and the prophets. We know a better way. Literally, quote, this is errant. This is blasphemous, we could say. That's a huge word, I know, but like, this is defying Deuteronomy, where Yahweh himself is saying, hey, guess what? I'm giving you a very clear command today. Don't add to the word. Don't take away from it. Period. So, we have been guilty as well. I was for most of my life, and many are still today, but just don't know it yet. And hopefully the purpose of this is that so maybe some eyes are open to that reality. Even to the point that Yeshua said what? By doing so, in their case, by adding to the word, you have made Father's word of no effect. It's void. It's useless because you have added. And friends, I will say that where I sit today, looking back on the gospel and the understanding of the word that I learned and understood and I even taught to other people, I made the word of Elohim void because I took away from it. Same level of guilt and error as the non-believing Pharisaical leaders of Yeshua's day and previous. This didn't happen when Yeshua entered the synagogue. This was already a machine well-oiled and moving along the tracks. We are no different. We have been guilty of the same, I believe. So next up, in part two, we're going to talk about some very specific areas. I listed out 4 or 5 examples that I believe will maybe unearth this for someone a little bit clearer. And again, this is as I started out with. Past, some of us, most of us have done this before. We've been guilty of taking away from the word and arrogantly exalting ourselves to we know better. Some of us are doing it right now. It doesn't matter what you believe, you can still be found guilty of like, yeah, we know better now. Even people that are maybe in 3rd grade along Torah understanding and feast keeping and how you do the calendar. Like, well, if I'm in 5th grade and you're in 4th grade, and I'm not saying that's true, let's flip it around. You're in 5th, I'm in 4th. The 5th grader should not be looking down the 4th grader and going, I know better than that now. Ha! Let's not be like that, friends. It's for all of us. And we'll all be found guilty of at least being lured into considering doing that, according to the Genesis account, because it's an age-old pattern of Hasatan, the enemy, the devil. That's his bag of tricks, friends. That's all it is. Hey, did Yahweh really say that? Let's be alert. Let's be mature. Let's be some sons and daughters that look at this in the face and say, I'm not buying that garbage. I'm not doing it. Whether it's all these things we could list, let's not do it, friends. Come back for part 2 as we talk about what? The trap of we know better. We know better than that now. You're watching the Path to Zion podcast, where we are rediscovering the ancient way. Subscribe, like, share this with a friend if you think it might benefit anyone else. Thank you so much. Come back for part two right after this. Amen.